Good morning. I'm glad to fill the pulpit for Pastor Rich. My name is Tom Cook. For those who don't know, might not remember. I pray that we continue to keep Pastor Rich and Kelly in our prayers as they are in Springfield. Safe travels, and they, you know, have fun with their family, and they just, you know, keep safe. They don't, you know, catch anything, you know, like a cold or anything down while they're down there, or anything like that. So, before I dive into the meat and potatoes of today, is that I feel like I usually do when I cover the pulpit. Me and Roxanne, we're missionaries, and so I always feel like it's our duty, it's our obligation, since Friendship is a shareholder and a partner in what we do with YFC, with Youth for Christ here in the community. I feel like it's always a obligation for us to give you guys a quick update of what we've been doing, and I just want to go through that really quick, and that's not going to be my main thing, but what's really interesting is that this time has been really interesting for us, because YFC had a mantra of replace, not cancel. Because when March hit, when the schools shut down, we had to replace a lot of stuff. We had a, you know, teen center closed, but we did replace some stuff. So I just want to go real quick what we've been doing, what we did, what the future is going to look like, and then I'll move on to the meat and potatoes of stuff. If you guys are cool with that, you guys cool with that? You guys good? Okay, I'm seeing who's awake and who's sleeping back there. So, real quick, whoa, something got really loud real quick. What we did was in order to keep in contact with the students, and we delivered snack bags to houses and Rich and Kelly helped us with that. We delivered snack bags to houses to around the community. We went to Ireton, Chatsworth, and Haywarden. We delivered over 2,000 of those. We did it every week from like April all the way till we reopened the teen center. We did over 2,000 of those and went over to 90 homes every single week. And 90 homes, and some of those homes had a couple different siblings in those homes. So we did a lot of snack bags, a lot of packing every single week. Our home looked like a Sam's Club every week. It was pretty crazy. It was pretty nuts. We had stuff stacked everywhere. But it was an awesome chance for us to sometimes we saw students, sometimes we didn't. We just hung in on the doors, knocked, and left. A lot of the students loved it that we did it. But also it gave us an opportunity to see where the students lived. Because a lot of these kids, we didn't know where they lived, and it was kind of cool to see that. Also, we started online meetings, the dreadful Zoom meetings. We did those with the students. It started out really well with us, and also we started a girls-only Zoom meeting, which we never had any separate thing for girls or guys. So Roxanne was able to do that. So that was a really awesome thing. She played a lot of crazy games, bashed me a lot. No, I'm just joking. She didn't really do that. But I was in the room the whole time. But it was a fun time. They had a fun time. That's how we was reaching the students, because we didn't have the teen center open. We reopened the center August 13th. I think I'm correct on that date. Maybe it was later than that. I think I was wrong on that date. But we reopened the center in August. That was in the summer, and we've been averaging like, 30 kids? Am I right on that, Roxanne? So we've been trucking right along, and we did a day camp once again. National YFC, we canceled all the camps that we normally go to in the summer, and we're like, Siouxland YFC is like, hey, why don't we do day camps in each of our areas, Lamar, Sioux City, and Haywarden? So we did a day camp here. This church was awesome enough to have their space open for us. And so we did a day camp here, and we had 25 students here from the community. And I re-looked on the email that I saw that Rebecca sent me, and two students said yes to Jesus. So that's a praise right there. So that's an awesome thing. So just a couple of future things is that right now we're kind of limited on what we can do with the students because the school's pretty much shut down. We can't do snack giveaways, which we will accept cookies up at the teen center if you want to bake them. But no snack giveaways. We can't go into lunches like we normally did. I mean, we can't do any of that stuff. They're pretty shut down right now. So we're trying to figure out other ways to reach them. We're looking at Wednesdays. Wednesdays, they get out an hour early. In middle school, they don't have practice. So we're trying to figure out a way maybe to do our campus life ministry that we're trying to, that we've been thinking about the past 5 years, to maybe do our campus life program possibly on that Wednesday. That's something that we're dreaming about, we're praying about, and looking at. So that's a plan in place with an hour program where we do games, small groups with them, and a lesson with them during that time frame. But we can't do it at school like you normally would, so we're looking at a couple of locations that's really close to the school. And then also, too, is that this is something that's brand new, hot off the presses, and there'll be more about this, is that 2400 campaign, where in Siouxland we're trying to reach 2400 lost kids, and it's a thing where we're going to be replacing the banquet this year just because of COVID and all that stuff. We don't want to have a big group setting, but also, too, is that we really want to get relational with our donors more, and it's a thing where we're going to really sit down with our donors, especially the ones that have given at the banquets, and sit down with them and just talk with them more and say, hey, you've been at the banquets, you know what the banquets are like, you know, would you want to give, or, you know, different, in a certain amount, in certain ways. But there'd be more about that information. So that's YFC. So, all right. So, and if you guys want to know any more information about YFC, what more about what we're doing, how to volunteer, please come see me or Roxanne afterwards. So, time for meat and potatoes. I love meat and potatoes. So, since it's school time, this is audience participation time. Since we're back in school, I figured we'd do a quiz. I figured Wayne would enjoy this. But it has nothing to do with math. Sorry, Wayne. So we're going to do a quiz, and I want to say a title of a song, and if you know who sung that song, you guys get a billion points. No, I'm joking. So, and the points don't matter. So the first title of the song is All You Need Is Love. Beatles, that's right. Somebody to Love. Queen. When a man loves a woman. There's probably been tons of people, but I got Percy Sledge down. Love is a battlefield. Love is a battlefield. Pat Benatar. Yeah. There's probably been tons of people that have sang these, but this is like what I got is what I've got. So, I love rock and roll. Probably all singing, we just don't know who's singing them, right? Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. How about this one? Baby Love.
Baby Love, my baby love.
Three Ladies. Motown. The Supremes. Okay. We're gonna go to my generation here now. Now that we have found love.
Now that we have found love, what are we gonna do with this?
Heavy D and the Boys. All right. I know some of these have hard. I know that very hard. But I figured this would be a great segue to talk about what we're gonna talk about today. We're gonna talk about Noah and the Ark. Right? No, I'm just joking. We're gonna talk about love. We're gonna talk about love today. So we're going to specifically talk about how to love God and how to talk about loving others. Talking about loving our neighbors. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for everyone that's here. I thank you, Lord, for that we can join together as a church and we can worship, we can learn, and we can learn more about you. And I pray, Lord, that the words that I say are meaningless without you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, you just fill me and you just let your words come out of my mouth, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So our main verse today is going to be in Matthew 22, 37 through 39. For those who got physical Bibles, I'll let you flip to that. For those who got the phones, I'll let you get to your app. It says, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself." Now, a little history with this verse is that the entire time Jesus was doing ministry, there was always people trying to discredit him, trying to say that what he was doing was wrong. Mainly it was the Sadducees, Pharisees, and this is the same situation with this verse. You know, they were trying to test him, trying to trip him up, trying to see how they can get him so they can ultimately put him to death, which they ultimately did. And this was one of the times. And they were trying to trick him because we all know that there's Ten Commandments and other rules and laws that they follow back then. And they were asking him, what was the greatest commandment? And Jesus responded with this answer. And if you had one of the Bibles, like I have here, it's in red because Jesus said it. And I think with what's going on today in 2020, is I think this verse is so applicable. It's so meaningful because we need this. Is not only was it relevant back then, it's relevant today because we need love. We need to love God. We need to love others. And we'll dive more into that. But I want to read a different version of the Bible message. And I like how it says this. It says, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is most important, the first on any list. But there is a second to set alongside it. Love others as you would love yourself. These two commandments are pegs. Everything in God's law and the prophets hang from them. The first part of the verse that we're going to look at, and what jumps out that we're going to dive into is love God, right? That's the first commandment. It says love your God, love the Lord your God, love God. So the big question mark is how do you love God? And that's a really hard question to answer sometimes. In order, according to these verses, in order to love God, you got to give everything away. It's got to be 100% thing. You need to hold nothing back. Jesus said with all your heart. He didn't say with some of your heart. He said with all your soul. He didn't say with half of it. Jesus said with all your mind. He didn't say with a smidge of it. And then the other verse said with your passion, your prayer, your intelligence. So this is an all or nothing game, right? Last week was really interesting. Is last week I was downstairs and we were talking about our first week in our studying about screens, right? How a lot of us adults and even more of the generation of our, my kids is all about screens, right? And they were talking about screens and all this stuff like that. And one of the examples they gave was of the Knights Templar. And I don't know much history about them or anything like that. I'd have to look it up and all that stuff. Only thing I know is stuff from like the movie National Treasure, you know, with Nicolas Cage and stuff like that. But one of the things they said was, is that whenever they would get baptized back then, is they would get baptized, they would get fully submersed, but they would hold up their sword, or the sword wouldn't get baptized with them. And they said that because that way, that God wouldn't be controlling their sword. That their sword would be only, they could do whatever they want with their sword. So whatever they did with their sword, whether it was, you know, threatening somebody, taking somebody out, you know, killing somebody, whatever it may be, that was on them to do. God had no control about that. So my question is that, how do you love God? Is that how many of us are doing that with God and loving God? Is that, are we giving them all? Are we holding that one thing up, or that two thing? Are we using our feet too, and we're holding like four or five things up, or and we're trying to love God a little bit? Because if I love my sons, or I loved Roxanne only a little bit, how do you think that's going to go? It's probably not going to go very well, is it? Well, yeah, it's not going to, yeah. Yeah. So it says, give your all. And I know this is tough. It's hard. It's a day-to-day process, right? It's a day-to-day thing. But in order to do the second thing I want to talk about here in a little bit, we've got to do the first part. And in order to do anything in our lives, we've got to love God. We've got to give God everything. We've got to love him. He's got to be the first. It says in the verse that he's the first. It's the first commandment, the greatest commandment, the first. And the other one follows it. Christ has got to be the center. Because what happens, if something's the center, if this water bottle is the center, everything else is around it, right? But in order for us to love God well, we've got to get those tools in our lives to love him well. We've got to get people around us. We've got to get the rereading his word, right? You know, we got to do things well. You know, who's ever tried to put one of those things together, maybe from IKEA or Walmart or Target or whatever store it is, those box stores, you get those box shelves or desks or whatever from, and you're trying to put it together well, but you like toss out the instructions and you try to put it, and you're putting part C with Z and part whatever, and it comes out looking like an elephant or something, and it's supposed to look like a desk, right? And you're like, but it's supposed to look like a desk. It's the same thing. If you're loving God, and you're supposed to do it well. It's right here to teach you how to do it well. The manual's right here. Teach you how to do it well, how to do it 100%. So the second thing is, who's your neighbor? Who's your neighbor? This one gets a little tricky. This one might step on some toes. This one might hurt a little bit. This one's a little tough too. Never said that my talk today, my sermon today was going to be easy, going to be easy to swallow. But simple answer is, everyone's your neighbor. Everyone's your neighbor. But let's break it down more, right? And this slide might make some of you guys squirm, right? Your neighbor is somebody next to you, next door to you, actually physically, maybe next door to you. Maybe it's a person you you're at, see, it's grocery store. Maybe it's a person you work with, or maybe it's the person you go to the football game with on a Friday night. Or maybe it's really hard for you is your neighbor. Maybe it's somebody you don't agree with politically or biblically. That's your neighbor too. And I think sometimes we forget that. Right? We are called to love everyone. It doesn't matter what their background is. Why? Because Jesus did. And I've got proof of that. Here's proof. Here's a couple examples. Here's an example. Is that flashback when Jesus was doing ministry. Jesus was walking around. He went into the temple. He wasn't happy with them selling stuff in the temple, right? He was upset. He was angry. He tossed the temple tables, right? He told those guys to get out of the temple. He was chucking stuff everywhere. But he still died for them. It says so in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Not for certain people, not for some people, not for a little bit of people, not for this section of people, not for this little person, people, not for this little bit, not if they do this right or that right, or not if they're living this way, that way, but for the world. Now, I know what some of you guys are thinking. I'm not saying that loving somebody is condoning somebody's sin. I'm not saying that. There's a difference. Jesus didn't do that. Think about the woman at the well, right? He was loving her. He was caring for her. He was sitting there and talking with her. Totally two different races of people, right? Totally two different races of people. He should never, in that time, he should never have been talking with her. But he was still talking with her. But he still pointed out that, yeah, the guy, you've been married this many times, or you've been with this many guys, and the guy you're with now is not your husband. He still pointed out things in a loving way and what happened. She went back and told others about him. We can still love a person, but not agree with their views, not agree with their lifestyles. And it's tough. It's a tough thing, right? It's a tough thing to love some of these people up here on the screen. It's a tough thing for me sometimes. But nowadays, it's kind of a weird thing, and maybe I'm jumping ahead of my notes, but it's a weird thing because sometimes I feel like the church has crossed two different lines. They've either crossed this line where they say they love people. And they accept anything that happens. And they don't look at the Bible and say, a sin's a sin. What's wrong is wrong. And they let anything go. But they do it under the umbrella of love. But then you have other churches over here that they throw stones. And they're not loving people. They're not caring for people. And then you have people that they're throwing stones at going, wait a second, I thought you were the church. I thought you were a follower of Christ. And that's, neither one of them is the right way. I don't think Christ called us either way the right way. Like I said, this is a very hard thing to grasp with everything that's going on in the world, especially nowadays in 2020, with everything that's going on, with the way our world is, the way our society is, with everything that's going on. This is very hard to grasp. Very hard. Like, how do you love people that are rioting and burning and looting? How do you love people like that? Jesus still loves them. Jesus still died for them. How do you love people that claims to be, you know, wants to get married to their same sex or whatever? Jesus still loves them. I'm not condoning the sin. I'm not saying the sin's right. But Jesus still loves them. Right? It's a thin line. It's a thin line. We need to love our neighbors. So how do you love your neighbors? Use Jesus as an example to be your love. Be like him. Back when I was a kid, when I was growing up, there's a campaign, there's an ad campaign going on. Give you two stories here. There's an ad campaign going on that when I was growing up, there's a thing, there's a person that everybody wanted to be like. I want to be like Mike, right? Michael Jordan. Everybody wanted to be like Mike, right? Whether you knew how to play basketball or whether you were the worst player in the world, you wanted to be like Mike. You wanted to dunk like him. You wanted to put that tongue out. You know, whatever it is, you know. You wanted to get his sneakers that cost way too much stinking money. You know, you wanted to be like Mike. You wanted the man, you wanted to run the store and get Gatorade, which at that time only came in like two flavors that tasted awful. You wanted to be like Mike, right? But when I was growing up, I really don't want to be like Mike because I had athletic ability of a slug. But I wanted to be like, there was my favorite TV show on, came on, I can't remember what day of the week it came on, but favorite TV show, it's about these four guys, crack commando team that was wrongly accused, sent to prison, but they escaped. They were helping people out, but they were otherwise known as the A-Team. And I love the A-Team. And I would go out and imitate them, and I would try to make my clubhouses, or I'd try to make things out, and I'd try to make things or whatever in my backyard. And I would, when I was at school or whatever on the playground, I would try to, you know, depending on the situation, I would try to sound like Hannibal. You know, if we were like, you know, two teams or two things going after each other, I'd always try to go, well, let's go through the front door, you know, even though there was no door or whatever to go through, you know. Or depending on like the situation, if I thought I was kind of getting bullied or thought it, like some kid was wanting to beat me up, I'd try to act a little crazy like Murdoch so they would like leave me alone or think I was like a few screws loose, you know, so they'd be like, I'm not touching him or whatever, you know. And so I try to imitate these guys, right? I try to be like these guys. And a lot of my friends tried to be like Mike. And so I was trying to imitate them. I was trying to be like them. And so if we're gonna love our neighbor, no matter what they look like, what lifestyle they are, what skin tone they are, what political beliefs they have, we've got to imitate Christ. We got to start imitating Christ and Jesus in our daily lives. With our mind, our heart, our soul. A lot of this stuff comes from what we watch, what we listen to, what we're pumping in our brain. There's so much junk out there, you know, through social media, through other stuff, you know. And just a caveat, I want to just throw this out here. This is a freebie because I don't think it's in my notes anywhere. It might be. I think it might be right here, whatever. But majority of the time, if you post something on social media, it's not going to solve anything. Usually it's going to cause issues. And a lot of times, if you're going to post something on social media, it's probably not going to show like Christ-likeness, possibly. It might cause more like flare-up, maybe. I don't know. So that's why 99% of the time, if you see anything about social media on me, it's usually YFC stuff. So that's why usually I don't post anything. So, but back to my notes. We need to live for Him with our mind, our soul, and it's so tough. Like I said, it's a day-to-day thing. It's a thing we got to remind ourselves in our attitude and in our speak. And it's so easy to be like, but they're doing this, or they're doing that, or they're doing this. And it's so easy to throw stones, right? It's so easy to think that, oh, I'm better than them, or oh, I'm going to church, or I'm doing this, right? I've done it. So easier to do that. But once again, if you read through the scriptures, if you read at Jesus' thing, compassion, compassion, compassion. Did He toss the temple tables? Yes. Did God have times where he wanted things done and whatever, but he still had compassion on people. He still loved people, right? So, and we need to show action in our words and in what we do. You know, maybe it's taking something to a neighbor. Maybe you don't agree with that neighbor. You know, maybe you know that neighbor. You know, you don't get along with that neighbor, but you know that neighbor has two kids and that two kids are starving. Why don't you be Christ-like and take them a meal or take them food or take them clothing, you know? Give you an example. When I was growing up, I lived in a trailer, and my trailer I lived in was here, and there was another trailer that was like right here. It's almost like a T, but they were pretty close. And we had some okay neighbors. I mean, they were nice or whatever. But they love cranking their music. Love cranking their music. And when you're that close, you can hear the lyrics and everything. So needless to say, I probably know Tom Petty's Free Fallin' by heart. You know, she's a good girl. Crazy, but yeah. So I probably know that thing by heart. That's, you know, one of the many songs, right? So, and they blast their music, and it was just like, oh. And when you're in a trailer, even if you close the windows, these are like 1960 trailers or 70 trailers. I mean, they're old. And I mean, you know, thin walls, and you heard everything. And sometimes you're just like, oh, why can't they just be quiet? Why can't they just be quiet, right? So not very nice neighbors sometimes. But I remember one time my mom finding out that these neighbors didn't have food. And at the time, when I was growing up, majority of the time when I was growing up from 3 until I was 18, we either lived on welfare or my dad's Social Security after he died. And so we didn't have much in the house. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, we had, you know, pantries and pantries full of food or whatever. And so she actually got a couple of bags of food together and took them over to this neighbor's house. Were they the nicest neighbors? No. Because they were like, you know, I could, you know, I know like Metallica songs and Tom Petty songs and all this because of them or whatever, you know. But there was a need. There was a need there. And she took it over, you know. And did we keep hearing music? Yeah, we kept hearing music. But there was a need there. So my question is that what type of action are we going to show people that we might not agree with or whatever, or what we might agree with? Are we going to show what kind of action? Is it going to be the action of throwing stones, or is it going to be the action of giving bread? I mean, what kind of love are we going to show as a church? And I'm not talking as a church as a friendship, which it could be underneath that umbrella. But are we going to show love and compassion of, you know, somebody in need, or they need clothing, or that, you know, hey, that, you know, your neighbor or somebody you know has a flat tire, or whatever it is. I mean, you make up the scenario. You might not agree with their lifestyle. You might not agree with how they live. Because honestly, if that was the case, if I had that situation, me and Roxanne, we would be out of a job. Because you know how many students that we minister to that we don't agree with some way, some of how they think. I mean, we have students up there that claim to be bi, gay, straight. Do you know how many parents of them, some of their students that are living together, not living together, that are whatever? I'm not saying we're perfect. Shoot, you can ask Roxanne how many times I've thrown stones at people because I didn't agree with some of their stuff. But what I'm getting at is we need to show action. And sometimes we need to show action through our mouths, our words. And sometimes that's asking people how they're doing. Because so many times the church has been known to hurt people and not care for people. So we need to show things. And this is, like I said, this is hard. It's a hard path. It's a hard path to follow. It's a hard path to go down. It's a hard road. It's you know, when they say narrow's a road, I mean, it's hard. It's hard every day taking that step where you're following Christ. And it's a hard path to follow where you got to remember, oh, I got to love this person. You know, Jesus loves them, and I got to love them because Jesus loves them. Because if you're truly following Christ, then that should flow out. A couple last comments that I might, I think, get you out of here early. I don't know. It's the way COVID stuff is. I don't know what time we're supposed to get out anymore. So we as Christians in the church, we need to stop being the voice of hate. I think I said it earlier, but we need to stop being the voice of hate. If we're truly Christ followers, if we're truly loving Jesus, we need to be the voice of love. Not acceptance, not accepting like what you're doing, Jim is right, or Bob and Susan, whatever it is. But we need to be the voice of love, not hate. Because where does hate come from? Satan, right? Because how many times people, you talk with people and they're like, oh, I got burned by the church, or I got this by the church, or whatever. And it's because people told them, or people pointed fingers at them, or people like said bad things about them, or whatever, because people in the church is trying to be all holier than thou, or whatever, right? Instead of showing love and compassion to them. So, your actions and your love will change people's hearts. Your love and your action will, it's the truth. It's the truth. You could stand on a street corner and throw tons of Bibles at people or scream and yell at them all day long. And that might change some people's hearts. But you go to somebody's house and give them food and talk with them and build relationships with people. That's going to change hearts. That's going to change people. And they're going to be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Well, why are you doing this? Because Jesus loves you, man. So I saw this in the sermon when I was researching and doing stuff. And I just want to say this. It's not my words. I found this in the sermon, so I'm quoting this. And now we're going to read this because I don't want to mess it up. And it's going to be one of my last things. It says, loving God without loving people is impossible. However, loving people without loving God is impossible as well. Loving people is a direct result of our love to God, as a real love always bringing out an expression. Loving people without loving God will bring anyone to a common pitfall of just being a people pleaser, and will exhaust themselves of being that such a wrong love is easily drained out. So, I mean, such a great thing is that, like, yeah, I mean, like, what's our motives of loving people, of trying to do stuff for people? Is it because we're just doing it? Or are we loving, is it our love through God? So my question to you is, and I'll end on this, is as a church, whether it's friendship as a church, big C church, or is it you as a believer, I mean, how are we going to start loving people better? You know? So I know there's people in this community that could use some love. Right here in Hayward, and there's people in this county that could use some love. And so how are we going to love people better? Especially in this year. This has been a train wreck. Right? We could be the change. We're supposed to be the change, right? We've got the answer. How can we be the change? We got the change. We got the answer. We got the answer right here. So many times, it's diffusing the change. We want to throw something instead of, you know, being love, being Christ to people. So let's show love to people. Let's show kindness, compassion, right? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for this church. I thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here, Lord. I confess, Lord, that this was a message directly to me as it was to anybody else, Lord. So many times, Lord, that I throw stones. I say, why is that person doing that? Or that person, yeah, that person frustrates me, or that person shouldn't be doing that, when what that person needs is love. That person needs is me to be Christ-like, Lord. And I'm so guilty of not being Christ-like to people sometimes, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we as a church body, if we just all picked up our crosses daily and we became Christ-like, Lord, man, we could see so much difference, change happening in our church body, in our community, in this county, Lord. I just pray, Lord, just give us strength, Lord, to where we can go day to day, Lord, with you. Build that relationship with you, and then also be Christ-like, Lord, and be loving and kind and caring and compassionate towards people, Lord. Not be hateful, not be spiteful. Because there's always going to be people different than us. There's always going to be people that believe different than us, Lord. But how are we going to make a change? How are we going to be Christ-like, Lord, to those people? Pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you just give us a good rest of the afternoon, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for every single person that's here. I thank you, Lord, for their families. I thank you, Lord, for I just pray, Lord, for if they're going through anything, Lord, that's maybe rough or hard or just difficult right now, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you just be with them in those situations, Lord. Just guide them and direct them, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you just give them a good day today, Lord, and a good week. In Jesus' name, amen.